Hi everyone and welcome to the latest episode of the Product Marketing Insider podcast. My name is Lawrence Chapman and I'm a copywriter here at PMA. This episode is sponsored by Crayon, the competitive intelligence platform that enables businesses to track, analyze and act on everything happening outside their four walls. Tens of thousands of competitive intelligence practitioners and stakeholders use Crayon to win deals, improve market positioning, inform long-term strategy and influence and optimize product roadmaps. Only with Crayon can you leverage competitive intelligence to the extent that's needed in order to grow revenue and market share over the long term. Today, I'm continuing my mission to speak with 50-plus PMMs to discover more about their role, which teams they interact with most, why they wanted to become a product marketer in the first place, and a whole lot more. And I'm delighted to be joined by Eric Mansour, VP of Product Marketing at Crayon. Thanks so much for joining me, Eric.
Lawrence, it's a pleasure to be here. Thanks so much for having me.
Oh, no, thank you for joining us. So just to start, please, can you just explain what your current role at Crayon entails?
So Lawrence, it's a big job. I'm a product marketer at a product marketing company. You know, so it's almost like if you went to culinary school and you had a professor that couldn't make a decent plate of scrambled eggs, like that's a big task to be the product marketer at a product marketing company. So I lead all of our product marketing efforts for Crayon, a competitive intelligence tool that allows customers, mostly at the mid-market and enterprise level, to be able to track, analyze, and act upon competitive intelligence that we can gather for their competitors. And I work with customers, work with our sales team, work with our customer success team, work with my colleagues in the marketing team in order to be able to best tell our user stories and best convey the value of Crayon externally and sometimes even internally to our existing customer base. Look, it's an exciting role and it's one that I think is a bit of a challenge. As I mentioned earlier, you got to be good at this in order to be, you know, the PMM at a PMM firm, you know?
Oh, no, that sounds great. And in terms of what wanted, why you wanted to become a product marketer in the first place, can you just, run that by us a little bit?
I think I've always been a storyteller my entire life. So when I left university, I became a radio disc jockey and I would talk about Britney Spears songs or talk up the latest Bon Jovi track or what have you. And I would have a very short amount of time to tell the listeners a story about that artist. I moved into working for a local newspaper and working for the concert industry and helping to sell tickets more in a way using online advertising. But at some point, every stage in my career has all been about telling stories, whether I'm telling the story about our product and the success that our customers have with it, or speaking to our customers and telling their stories in the form of case studies, blog posts, et cetera, et cetera. I'm trying to tell a story to a market writ large that is much more focused on business outcomes. And that is what I think is the most exciting about being a product marketer and as I've gone through that evolution. You know, when you're talking up NSYNC songs, there's no business outcome there. I just don't want you to change the channel. But doing product marketing, particularly for a SaaS company like us, the stories that I'm telling are trying to compel people to have similar success in their own business using our tool.
Okay, great. And what did your first role as a product marketer look like? And can you talk us through your career path from that initial exposure to product marketing to now?
I started in tech. Really, I started as a product marketer working at a company called Nanigans, which is in the ad tech space, one of Facebook's first five API partners. So our software was built on top of Facebook's API and our customers, used our tool to advertise on Facebook. Pretty early on, I discovered that, as our product and engineering team were rolling out new products, new features in a pretty rapid pace, our customers were left sort of in the dark. They would, log into the software and discover something new that they hadn't seen before that ultimately addressed one of their needs. But there wasn't a true line of communication from our product and engineering team into the customer base itself. We had a pretty large, pretty burgeoning sales and customer success team who also was sometimes left in the dark. So I identified pretty quickly a need for something there, and I didn't know what it was called. So I started calling it product communications. That is to say, communicating what it is the product team is doing down into our sales and success teams and then into the customer base itself, but then also positioning myself in such a way to listen to what our customers were telling our sales and success teams and trafficking that back up into product. So when we hired an SVP of marketing, this guy, Ryan Hoppe, a mentor of mine, came from Spotify, where he was a product marketing leader. And, you know, he and I sat down, he took a look at what I was doing and listened to the my list of tasks that I had assigned to myself. This was outside of my regular responsibilities. I just decided I felt like we needed to do it. And he said, well, Eric, you're doing product marketing. You're just, you're missing some of the other important pieces, pricing, packaging, positioning, you know, some of those conversations, but you're doing a great deal of those tasks are product marketing related. So I'd love to take you under my wing and, you know, bring you over to my team and make you a full-fledged product marketer. So it was there I got a, you know, I wouldn't necessarily say a crash course, because I learned a ton from Ryan, added to my existing knowledge of dealing with customers and dealing with the product team, being able to understand go-to-market strategy, but then adding to that the other trappings of what makes a product marketer. And from then on forward, I became, you know, the VP of product marketing for the company. Eventually went over to a company called WordStream, which is more SMB SaaS focused. And trials and tribulations and different, you know, mergers and acquisitions later, I left that company, Gannett, and now I'm here at Crayon, a job that I'm terribly excited about.
Well, that sounds awesome. And I don't know why I'm going to ask this question, because I get the same answer from so many different guests. We're going to ask it anyway. So if there is such a thing, what does a standard day in your role look like?
So I think it's a different answer depending on the size of your company, right? So we're a startup, for the lack of a better term. We just announced a round of funding, a $22 million Series B yesterday. So that's a very exciting milestone. But that means, and that's usually an indicator, that we were operating with a small, very scrappy team to begin with. So a day in my life now as the VP of product marketing for a growing startup is different than what it was when I was running a product marketing team back at WordStream, or when I had, you know, the ear of the CEO, I reported to him directly back at a different, you know, smaller startup at Manigans. So not having a team that I can, you know, I can delegate direct tasks to and stuff like that means I'm back to being a jack of all trades. I'm involved in those executive level conversations, but I'm also doing some of the work myself, back to doing some of the writing and some of the planning, some of the, you know, putting together, you know, a campaign brief or, you know, a design on what it is we want to do and how we want to go about doing it, the creating the cross-functional collaboration required in order to erect a particular program. So a day in my life is different every day, but I think just in response to the way you posed the question, you know, working at a small sized enterprise startup is a hell of a lot different than working at a larger company where you've got a massive team underneath you. You know, suddenly not only I become strategic, but at the same time tactical in what it is that I'm trying to do. So it's going to vary from day to day, but ultimately I've always been a person that likes getting my hands dirty. So I'm comfortable with the level of, you know, writing that I'm actually doing, the level of content and collateral production that I'm doing. And it's been pretty exhilarating thus far to sort of get back into hashtag startup life, you know?
Oh, no, it sounds exciting. And congratulations on the recent investment.
Thank you.
So in terms of teams outside of marketing, like sales, product, operations, et cetera, which departments would you say you interact with most, and what's your relationship with them like?
So I have, again, when you're working at a small company, you know, you have the opportunity to have a direct line or almost, you know, immediate impact on those departments, because it's not like I have to go through 2, 3, 4 different layers, multiple conversations, cross-functional meetings, and email chains in order to get to the decision maker. I was invited literally to the sales leadership team meeting an hour before we're talking, Lawrence. So the actual SVP of sales said, Eric, I need you to jump in this meeting for us, because we're talking about things that relate specifically to your job function. I said, great, perfect. I didn't need to invite myself. I was invited. So my relationship with all of those departments, sales, product, customer success, operations, and otherwise, is made that much easier by just due to the lack of bureaucracy that exists at a company of our size. I can drop a line to Brendan, who's our head of customer success right now, and he can just jump on the phone with me and we can talk through something and things can get done. It's extremely exhilarating to know that you could do that. And the fact that I was brought in such a way where I was able to forge a relationship with each one of those leaders before I even signed on the dotted line to come to the company also helped me along. They knew me before I became a Crayon employee. They knew a little bit about what I was about. So that relationship, I think, for each department is really strong. But I think particularly strong with my direct manager, the CMO of the company, and with the SVP of sales, both of whom I have worked with in the past at different companies. I would say the second most firm or sort of solid relationship is with the head of customer success, because when I was at Nanigans, I was a Crayon customer. I was a hands-on end user of our competitive intelligence software, and Brendan was part of my team. So I've known Brendan for longer than anybody at the company because, as a customer success leader, he directly interfaced with a customer like I was back then. So I've, had already built that rapport some 5, 6, 7 years ago. So that's a long-winded answer to your question to say that I wouldn't necessarily say I've got, the deepest or most, the broadest relationship with any one department, as some product marketing leaders would because of the size of our company, but the opportunity that I've had to sort of strike and forge a relationship with each department to the best that I could equally in order to drive impact in every way possible.
Yeah, that sounds great. And, as you say, in many instances, it's almost a case of chucking all your eggs in one basket, isn't it, really? As opposed to, it sounds like it's very much in your case, like you've cast your net much further. And I imagine that makes your job so much easier, like so much easier.
Well, Lawrence, I think you know that product marketing means different things to different companies, right? Like there are some companies that treat product marketing really as product marketing in name only. They're a sales enablement team. And what they're really responsible for is boosting win rates. They're really responsible for, driving sales collateral into the sales team. And that's all they do. And they don't have a direct relationship with product. And there are plenty of other companies that have product marketing aligned directly with product. Facebook, for example, I've never had a meeting with a Facebook product manager without a product marketing manager sitting right next to them. They finish each other's sentences. So there's a great deal of alignment there. And there's very minimal alignment on the Facebook side with PMM and sales and success. It's much closer to product. The way I've always been treated in my career and the way I work at Crayon is product marketing becomes a pivot point for every part of the organization to come through. So working with finance, working with business operations, working with customer success, sales, marketing, I sort of am able to be in a lot of those meetings and be able to have some measure of influence, or at the very least be a fly on the wall and be able to capture information and redirect it and move it someplace else. So that's the type of PMM I'd like to be, is that pivot point PMM, and the way I've been afforded the opportunity to do so throughout my career.
Okay, sounds great. And we kind of touched very briefly on your skills as a storyteller. But what would you say the top three skills are that have helped you to get to where you are today in your current role at Crayon?
I think probably a lack of ego. I think that there was a time in my life, probably my younger days, call it age 20 to 30. Where, everything that I put on paper was perfect. How dare you offer feedback, right? And as I've gotten older and as I've had a larger amount of exposure to different companies, different people, different stakeholders, different decision makers, you sort of pull back on that ego a little bit. And now I'm very open to feedback. I would much rather have someone who has never read the thing that I wrote, read it for the first time and give me their honest, even down to a letter or down to sentence structure, what they think, because that actually helps make you a more humble and a more informed product marketer when you have others who are weighing in based on their own lived in experience. So I think one of the things that I've tried to, that I think has made me more successful as a senior product marketing leader is a willingness to listen and a willingness to say that, my way isn't always perfect, whether it be a process you create or even a piece of content that you write, wanting to get somebody's, honest opinion on something before you move forward. I think, you know, you mentioned the storytelling thing that I mentioned earlier. Like I enjoy being able to convey things in such a way that, you know, has a beginning, middle and end. It has a structure for which people feel like they're being set up, and then they listen to the poignant moment, and then it sort of ends and you move on to the next thing. So I like telling stories in that way. I think people are more used to reading and hearing and listening and watching stories that way. So I like having structure to the way I go about conveying a message and conveying an idea. And, you know, process is another thing, adherence to process. You know, when you come into a startup, you want to be able to say, okay, what is my process for going about doing this? And if there isn't one, then it's imperative upon me to create it. So, you know, you go to, I went to a startup, you know, my previous job here at Crayon, and they had no real go-to-market process. You know, it was very loosely held together. It was, you know, there was very little of tying certain stakeholders together, whether it be the training team, whether it be the customer success team, sales, and otherwise. And it comes to a point where you sort of have to get all those stakeholders in the room or get them to look at the same big product rollout document and make sure everybody knows that they have certain tasks that they need to achieve. And there's a waterfall effect of this thing has to happen first before this thing happens. So I think process is another thing that I think has helped make me into a better product marketer, is that, you know, not only adherence to it, but a willingness to fill a process hole with a good process that can be repeatable and scalable moving forward.
Okay. And in terms of your role that you've got there at Crayon, would you say that there's any crossover at all, you know, like between what you do and what a product manager does?
I don't know. I think so. And I think only in so far as customer research. So as I said before, I think there's a certain amount of feedback that comes into play with what I do and what we do in product marketing. And, you know, when you think about it, a product manager will go to a customer and pitch them a user story. They'll say, as a user like yourself, we want to be able to do this X, to be able to solve for Y in order to achieve outcome Z. You know, it's a standard product manager tell a user story thing. If the customer agrees to that, then the UX manager comes in and the UX manager says, well, we've designed it like this. Instantly, can you see where we would have put that, you know, behind this button or underneath this hamburger menu or whatever? The user experience becomes another portion of feedback that goes into the creation of the product itself. And that's when product marketing comes in to say, okay, now that you know what the user story is, what the thing is supposed to do on your behalf, and now you know the way it looks, the way it feels within the software itself, now I want to be able to tell the story. What's the best name for this feature? What's the best way to position this feature, both within our existing feature set and against, you know, perhaps competitive solutions or other SaaS solutions in the market? So I think that there's a bit of overlap with both product management, but also user experience design, in that we want to be able to gather feedback, oftentimes from the same customer, but ask them three different questions. Does this actually solve the need? Is it easy for you to use in order to solve your need? And if I were to be marketing to somebody who is just like you, but not you, because you're already aware of it, would I be able to use this language in order to speak to the need that this feature solves? Does that make sense?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, sure. And what does the process of introducing new products and features look like at Crayon? And how does this compare to the previous places where you've worked?
So our product team is incredibly well immersed within our customer base. You know, I think more so than any company that I've ever worked at, Crayon has instilled this sense of advocacy, the sense of passion amongst our customer base around the concept of competitive intelligence. You know, 15 years ago, there wasn't a job title for Salesforce administrator. That wasn't a thing you could hire somebody to do, right? It was only because Salesforce sort of reinvigorated people's understanding of what CRM tools could be. Do you then now have like whole, like, you know, like certification processes around the use of Salesforce backend tools? A lot of our customers think about competitive intelligence the same way, in that they probably had a product marketing team that was broadly responsible for competitive intelligence, but they didn't have set up a competitive intelligence program or a team that was entirely in charge of competitive intelligence as a discipline until they got Crayon. Crayon was sort of their gateway drug into having a true competitive intelligence program. Very similar to the way, you know, you wouldn't have a Salesforce admin without Salesforce. Now you've got entire companies that have a competitive intelligence team as a result of having installed Crayon and making it part of their company's DNA. So as a result, our product team is very, very focused on the customer experience and what features and functionality they're looking for. So when our product team does come out with a new feature, whether it be a large one like updated battle cards or a new way to track and understand customer information, customer data, you know, it's already been very well vetted amongst our existing customer base. So it isn't really, you know, it's not really imperative for us to do a broadcast email out to our customers, because a great deal of those customers has already seen this messaging, has already been able to see the Figma or the InDesign mocks of what it looks like. What it's really important for me to do is to get this into the sales team's hands and making sure they understand that as they're now going to market, as they're having demos, discovery calls, they're able to speak to this new feature and speak to the challenges for which we're trying to solve with this feature to a prospect. Because our customers, once they see it, they understand it, they very readily grasp it, because that's their feedback being heard, understood, accepted, and then delivered upon. So in an answer to your question, another long-winded one, Lawrence, I apologize. The go-to-market process for us at Crayon really means, you know, making sure the sales team's aware, making sure our customer success team, who is already generally aware, and then adjusting the sales collateral, the website, any number of different things that is required in order to make sure that, you know, the audience more broadly is aware of what it is we're doing and why it is we're doing.
Okay. And I mean, just from speaking with you, throughout the podcast and before we hit record, you know, it's really clear, like, you are so passionate about product marketing. But obviously, as is the case with anything, there's always, or, you know, invariably 9 times out of 10, there's space for improvement. In your opinion, what would you change about product marketing to make it even better than it is?
Gosh, that's a good question. And the reason why I think it is because I think back to, you know, Thanksgiving dinner pre-COVID, you know, the vast majority of the time I would spend time with family and friends, I would have to explain what it is that I do. You know, my in-laws, my wife's cousin's husband is a firefighter, and my brother-in-law is an engineer. You know, they say what they do and people are like, oh no, I get it. And I say, I'm a product marketing executive. And they're like, what's product marketing? So I think the thing I would love to see change about product marketing is it to become a term to art, something that is more ubiquitous in the business world. People understand what accounting is. People understand what, you know, software engineering is. People understand what customer success is. I'd like people to have a better understanding of what product marketing does, because not only is it just anecdotal understanding about what the job function is, but also the knock-on effect of this is people understanding the impact that product marketing can have on the bottom line of a business. Mm-hmm. And I think that's really, I mean, as a community of product marketers, I think that's something we should be trying to do as a group, as a collective, to be able to raise the profile of product marketing as a job function, as a discipline, and make it top of mind for not just growing companies, but, you know, high growth or you know, medium growth companies, but also the biggest enterprises in the world, to make sure that they can put their product marketers to the forefront and say, this team, while there's a litany of intangibles that product marketing does have as part of the job, is also making a sizable impact. And they are sometimes just as important as the brand marketers or the demand gen people or the content marketers that exist within the organization.
Okay. And you mentioned, you know, product marketing is a job function. If there are any new or aspiring product marketers listening to the podcast, what would your advice be to them to help them get the most out of their product marketing journey?
I would say read. You know, the thing is, there are some four-year universities that do offer degrees now in product marketing. So the education system around the globe is slowly catching up to this being a really an industry in and of itself. But I would say most people leave college, leave university, not necessarily wanting to be a product marketer. They come to discover it on their own. So I would say read a lot of the books that are out there about product marketing. You know, obviously Awesome and you know, things like Crossing the Chasm. You know, these legendary business books that speak to some of the aspects of product marketing that people just oh, my finance team will handle it. Pricing. Well, actually, no, pricing should involve product marketing some way, or positioning and packaging. Oh, well, you know, the brand team will handle that, or the marketing team will handle that. Well, no, product marketing should be involved in those conversations. And being able to be someone who could speak to those things cogently requires you to have some of that advanced foreknowledge, understanding product market fit versus solution market fit. You know, these are type of concepts that, you know, again, the vast majority of four-year institutions aren't necessarily teaching. It's not a PMM 101 course. So I think it's imperative for people who want to break into the product marketing industry to start doing some of that research and sort of putting themselves through 101 and 201 and 301 courses on their own to sort of be able to have those conversations and be able to speak fervently about the role that them as a new and young, as an up and coming product marketer should have within the company that they're currently a part of.
Okay. And on the back of that, to be honest, I'm going to throw in a shameless plug then, because we have a product marketing reading list on the PMA website that you can check out. So if you are thinking about jumping into product marketing, or if you want to develop your existing product marketing skills, head over, check it out. So
I like that. You're throwing in shameless plugs. Do I get to do that too? Am I allowed to do a shameless plug?
No, Rick. I have no shame whatsoever. I'm known for it. So it's I'll chuck it in. It's been an awesome chat. I've really, really enjoyed it. So just to round off, really, mate, obviously this year has gone super quick already. We're already, you know, almost at the halfway point. But what do you think 2021 or the rest of 2021 has in store for the product marketing community?
Gosh, it's a good question. What I think is actually going to happen is product marketers are going to continue to be the repository for tasks and projects within a company that they don't know the right place to put it. And I think product marketers should anticipate that. I mean, particularly as new technologies are emerging. You know, I've mentioned this before, and obviously one of the reasons why I'm here is that I work for a company that does competitive intelligence software. And I think people are now, you know, really waking up to this notion of competitive intelligence being a valuable tool, something that you have to have as part of your company's DNA in order to be successful. And it doesn't just affect sales enablement. It affects every other part of the organization, whether it be helping customer success fend off competitors, you know, going after sharks in the water, going after your existing customers, whether it be your finance team, understanding what other companies out there in your space are taking on funding or who are hiring in certain executive roles, whether it be executive management wanting to make more strategic decisions, or even your product team wanting to be able to, you know, have better understanding of what the product roadmap should be. So I think product marketers need to be ready to receive those type of requests, those type of tasks. Hey, you know, at a glance, can you tell me what XYZ competitor is doing? You know, how much funding they've taken on, you know, where they are hiring, and what their last three big product releases are. If a product marketer is not able to answer that question early on and quickly, then some other department in the org is going to end up taking that on. So I think it's important for product marketers to be anticipatory of the type of tasks they're going to get thrown at them, and perhaps immerse themselves in the type of tasks that perhaps were once tangential, but now really could fall directly on the PMM's plate, namely something like competitive intelligence, which is something I work directly in. It's, you know, part of my DNA now, you know?
Awesome. Eric, it's been an absolute pleasure. Thank you so much for your time, and all the very best for, you know, the rest of 2021. And you know, again, congratulations on the investment.
Well, Lawrence, I would be remiss if I didn't throw in a shameless plug. We are offering listeners of the Product Marketing Insider podcast a free competitive landscape report. All you do is type in your email address and your list of competitors, and we get back to you with a comprehensive competitive analysis across your entire, you know, competitive landscape. So whether it be website rank and social reach, revenue and funding history, an in-depth history of messaging shifts, you can get all of that for free for listeners of this podcast. You just got to go to crayon.co/PMM-insider. So just the name of the podcast, PMM-insider, after the / of crayon.co. And email address, list of competitors, and boom, you've got a competitive landscape report sitting in your email box a few hours later.
Sounds great. So there we go. Head over there and know, grab your free slice of the pie.
I love it. Florence, it's been a pleasure. Thanks so much for having me.
Thank you very much, Eric. Cheers, mate. Thank you.
For everyone still tuned in, thanks so much for listening. And if you enjoyed the podcast, please help us spread the word to other product marketers. Before we leave you to get on with your day, if you want to get involved, here are a few ways you can. If you're a product marketer and you want to come on the show and speak about your day, a specific topic, or your role in general, that's one option. If you want to flex your podcast hosting skills, being a guest host is another. And finally, if you or your company want to sponsor an episode, there's a third. Thanks again, and have a great morning, afternoon, or evening, wherever you are.